Let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking to Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith. Taking a stand as a church involves helping those not as fortunate as we are. It's a proactive lifestyle that seeks the best for everyone we come in contact with, drawing each day from God's storehouse of grace. Stay with us. From the Moody Church in Chicago, this is Running to Win with Dr. Erwin Lutzer, whose clear teaching helps us make it across the finish line. Today, Erwin Lutzer continues a six-part series on what happens when God comes to church. Let's turn to 1 Thessalonians chapter 3 and learn more about how the church takes a stand.
Nobody stands alone. And that's why we need one another. And when it comes to churches, how do we stand? We help one another. That's why we sent this team to India to strengthen the church. Because we have resources, we have books, we have more money, we have opportunities to be trained, and they don't have that. So how do we strengthen the church? We go there, we send short-term missionaries to different parts of the world with the intention of helping the church to stand. I say to you today, my Christian friend, that if you are standing, stand alongside someone else that you can help stand for the faith and be encouraged. So that's the first thing that Paul did. He sent Timothy. Secondly, Paul says it's not only necessary that you have someone beside you, but it's also necessary that you know something. And so he wrote 1 and 2 Timothy. All the letters that Paul wrote are not necessarily part of inspired scripture. There are apparently some he wrote that were so localized that they were not included as inspired scripture. But 1 and 2 Timothy are inspired scripture. And so Paul wrote to them, and what did he say in these two letters that he wrote to the church? Well, he talked about himself. He was defending his ministry. But also what he was doing is taking people and helping them understand those doctrines that are going to make them sound in the faith and able to stand. You can't stand without knowledge, without understanding. And so in 1 and 2 Timothy, he talks about God in chapter 1, as we learned, who chose the church. He talks about the church in the past. It originated in God's heart. And then he talks about the return of Jesus Christ in the future. 33 verses of 1 Timothy are devoted to the return of Christ, and that will be one of our messages in this series. And in between, he speaks about the ministry of the Holy Spirit, who will energize, who will help, who will come alongside of us to help us to stand and to be encouraged. You see, we need the Word of God all the time if we're going to stand. And the reason is because the graces that we receive day by day fade away. At times, maybe you've left a service on a Sunday morning and you just felt that you could take on the world. And then on Monday and Tuesday and Wednesday, it wore off, and pretty soon you are back into the same old sinful ruts. It's because the grace that you receive today won't carry you for tomorrow. You need new grace. That's why you're in the Word every day, because the Bible is food that nourishes us. It is light that guides us, and it is a weapon that defends us. You need the Word of God if you're going to stand. Absolutely essential. As you know, I don't wear a clerical collar. There are some ministers that do. And there are reasons why I don't, and there are reasons why others would disagree with that, and that's not my point today. But I do think that there is one advantage to wearing a clerical collar. I heard a minister say, who wears one, that he wears it all the time, 7 days a week, because he said it keeps him from temptations that he would otherwise fall into. Because he said, with a clerical collar, you'll never go into a tawdry place, some connection that is sinful, because after all, you do represent God, and everybody around you knows that you represent God. And so you stay away from those compromises that would make God look bad in the eyes of the watching world. Now, how do we resist temptation? We have to know who we are, know who we belong to, know who we represent, and that can come to us only through the Word of God, and it is through that that we are strengthened to stand even if we must stand alone. So Paul says, first of all, I send someone to help. Secondly, he says, I give people information. And thirdly, incredibly important, he says, I pray. Let's pick up the text now in verse 9. He says, for what thanksgiving can we return to God for you? For all the joy that we feel for your sake before God, as we pray most earnestly night and day, that we may see your face and supply what is lacking in your faith. Just that far for a moment. Notice the intensity of the prayer. He says, I pray earnestly. Notice the frequency of it. He prays, he says, day and night. That didn't mean that all that Paul did was stop for prayer. But the burden to pray was so heavy on his soul that even when he was working, making tents, or even when he was going to the congregations, even when he was preaching, even as he was working with people, he was praying all the time because the burden was there to pray earnestly and intensely day and night. See, one of the things that God wants to do in our lives is to birth within us this kind of a passion for prayer. And that's why we are so thankful for all those who do attend prayer meeting, though some of you can't for whatever reason. But there is a passion that God wants to develop within us so that our will and His will are harmonized. And as we cry up to God with passion and fervency, God says, now you have shown your seriousness and I will answer. Paul says, day and night I've prayed. Some of you have committed to pray 1 week. Excuse me, that wouldn't be bad, but it's a little less than that, isn't it, for those of us who aren't quite there yet. Some of us have committed to pray 1 hour per week all this year, and some of you are struggling at this point in the process. And the reason that you're struggling is because you don't want to just say the same old thing in the same old way. And you don't have to. How do you pray? You take the biblical prayers and you pray them. You pray chapters of the Bible. It's amazing how prayers arise out of chapters in the Bible that you might not think are specifically devoted to prayer. But notice how Paul prays for these people. He doesn't pray like we do. Almost always we pray for physical healing. So-and-so has a difficulty and we pray. And we believe that that's scriptural. And it might be of interest for you to know that we as elders met this morning to anoint someone with oil and to pray for her in her physical difficulties. So we believe in that. But Paul didn't concentrate on that. He was after bigger issues. He had other fish to fry. He was interested in praying, first of all, for their faith. That's what he says there in verse 10. Because that's always what is at stake. And secondly, in verse 11, he says, may the Lord make you increase and abound in love for one another. That's essential if you're going to stand, because you have to stand together. And verse 13, so that he may establish your hearts blameless in holiness before our God and Father at the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ with all the saints. What do you pray for? You pray for faith. It's the most critical. See, nobody plunges into sin unless, first of all, their faith is gone. Because if I don't have faith in God's goodness, if I don't believe God's way is best, last Wednesday, a prodigal who gave his testimony said an amazing thing. He was so upset with God. He said, God, all that you need to do is to keep me alive. That is your part. And he said, then I will run my life by myself. Your responsibility, keep me alive. My responsibility is to do my own thing. See, no faith. No faith that God's way is best. No faith that there is a better way. Faith in yourself, but not faith in God. So Paul says, I pray for the strengthening of their faith. I pray for love, because if you have a hard, unloving heart, the word of God can't fall into it. And he says, I also pray for holiness, that you might be blameless when the Lord Jesus Christ comes. Do you ever wonder how to pray for the pastoral staff? You ever wonder how to pray for your child? You pray as Paul prayed for these qualities. So God answered Paul's prayer clearly. Now, he says, I can live, because Timothy brought me word that you are standing firm in the faith. Now, he says, I can actually live. Now, the bottom line is this. What we need to do is to empower people. We need a theology of power to enable people to stand. We need to empower women to be able to say no to lecherous men. We need to empower people. We need to empower business people who will say no to compromise. We need to empower our students to say no to drugs and alcohol. We need to empower people to say, by God's grace, by God's strength, with his resources, we will stand. Well, my friend, that certainly is a challenge, isn't it? Especially in this day when so many things that have been nailed down are being torn up. May God find us faithful. Now, we're living in a day and age when many people equate spirituality with feeling good. And if you feel bad, well, then you aren't spiritual. That's not biblical. You think of Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane in agony and yet totally sinless. At the same time, we all know that our emotions can deceive us, they can lead us into sin, and if you begin to think that feelings are facts, you are in trouble. That's why I've written a book entitled Managing Your Emotions. The subtitle is God's Good Gifts Gone Wrong. Emotions are good gifts, but it's very easy for them to go wrong. Some of the topics have to do with love, emotional wholeness, depression, rejection, fear, loneliness. I believe that it'll be of tremendous help for you, and for a gift of any amount, we're making it available for you because we believe that it will bless you, but then having read it, you can pass it along to others. Thank you so much for joining us today, and in a moment you'll be given the info that you need so that this resource can be yours.
Today, Erwin Lutzer brought more of a message on The Church Takes a Stand, the third in a series on what happens when God comes to church. Next time, strength to go against the prevailing tide. Running to Win is all about helping you find God's roadmap for your race of life. Pastor Lutzer's book on managing your emotions can transform your life. This book will be sent as our thank you for your gift of any amount to support Running to Win. Just call us at 1-800-215-5001. That's 1-800-215-5001. Online, go to offerrtw.com. That's offerrtw.com. Or write to Running to Win, Moody Church, 1635 North LaSalle Boulevard, Chicago, Illinois, 60614. Thanks for listening. For Pastor Erwin Lutzer, this is Dave McAllister. Running to Win is a ministry of the Moody Church.